You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 28 October. We've got Ford results after market close in the U.S. Interested to see what their EV hybrid ICE sales are. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Petley Radenhaes, the Sibanye-Stillwater. Good news out of the U.S. The U.S. Inflation Reduction Act update gives them perhaps some assistance in the U.S. Space, which is about 20-odd percent of total. Andreas van Heerden from Afrimat. So results, we know what was happening there. I'm interested in Lafarge integration. How's that going? Any surprises on either the good or the bad? Gerard Leroux from Capital Connect. Black Friday. Yep, it is starting, I suppose, on Friday, which will be Black November. $88 billion expected to be spent. It's an important period. Retailers need to maximize. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Dis-Chem wants to out Vitality to Discovery with life insurance, with its Extreme Rewards program effectively able to cover the cost of a premium. Business Day, blow for first round in UK motor finance probe. UK court finding the first round unlawfully paid commissions to car dealers without customers' knowledge. So about 3 billion rand. They do have a provision. They will appeal, but they've lost this round. Morning markets, US was mixed. S&P, down a point, 0.03%. NASDAQ up 0.6%. The East is mixed. Sydney up 0.01%. Tokyo 1.5% higher. Hong Kong off 0.1%. And Tencent down 1.25%. Commodities mostly green. Gold, 2,746. Brent, 7,267. That's the red. Platinum at 1,029. Palladium, 1,200. The Rand is 1771. Bitcoin 68,100. Top 40 opening call 125 points to the red, or a little under 0.2% weaker.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petley Radenhaes, Herenia Capital Advisors. Petley, appreciate the early morning time. And Palladium's running, I mentioned in the intro there. It's trading up at $1,200. Maybe it's breaking higher. Sibanye-Stillwater, you've got some U.S. operations. Got good news out from that U.S. Inflation Reduction Act on Friday. U.S. about 20% of PGMs. Of course, they also mine gold. So I went digging that rabbit hole. They do about 1 million ounces of gold versus 2 million of PGMs. And of course, they own half of DRD. I got to say, I mean, it's a tempting little stock and some good news coming its way.
Well, yeah, and I think, firstly, good morning, Simon, and thank you for having me. And I think also, let's just keep in context the news here. The Inflation Reduction Act in the U.S. Is essentially aimed at, well, at least this is my interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Aimed at protecting sort of key assets for the U.S. economy. So they've listed things like lithium and platinum and palladium. And boron and all these sort of, let's call them battery minerals, as key, investments to make, or as key assets to have for national security. Everything in the U.S. is about national security. So, and what they've essentially done is they've offered an incentive, which is a 10% sort of upfront production sort of advance, right? The U.S. the U.S. operations, if you look at them, for example, particularly in the PGM space, they're forecast to produce something like 440,000 ounces. So they'll get a 10% advance on their production that they are essentially forecasting, which is a huge amount of cash flow, right? So there's a couple of things that are happening there. Firstly, the U.S. production facilities, or the U.S. Mines, actually, have been under quite a bit of pressure. They upped their forecast to produce 700,000 ounces of platinum, and then they then essentially pulled that back to 440,000, mostly because platinum prices have been suppressed, and those operations are under some pressure.
Yeah.
So two good things happened. One, they get this 10% advance, which relieves some of the pressure. Three good things. You know, the platinum price is slightly higher as well. And then the third is that they've had, there's another mining project in the U.S. that they have a 50% stake in that, produces gold and boron and lithium. And they have a 50% stake, and it's like a $490 million investment, as well as, I think, a $700 million loan that they get. And the sort of mining rights has now been approved by the U.S. government, and they can go ahead and this investment begins, and they can set up a new mine. So there's quite a bit of good news around the U.S. portion of the business. But as you mentioned, it's only around 20% of the total company, right? So we saw the share rally almost 7% on Friday. I think that, the thinking of the market here is probably that if the U.S. operations can grow materially, then they become a larger portion of the total earnings, right? So I think that, yeah, there probably is quite a bit of upside to go. And as you rightly mentioned, I mean, they produce like 1 million ounces of gold per annum. It's a lot.
And the market, the market seems to just not care about that gold at all. I mean, I was surprised how much gold they produce. When you think that gold's what, 2,700, and the PGMs are 1,100, 1,200. The market seems to be, yeah, gold. Who cares?
Yeah, I think the market, well, particularly with Sibanye, it's one of those very first you love it, then you hate it kind of stocks, right? I mean, Neil Froneman has had this reputation of coming out and being the ultimate deal maker, and then he was the world's biggest idiot, and then he was the world's best deal maker again. He's the world's biggest idiot again, and the market kind of wanes to and from, right? And this is the nature of the market. It's an emotional beast, and everybody's looking at the U.S. operations and seeing that it's under pressure, and forgetting all the good stuff that the company is doing and has done. And now I think with a little bit of good news in the U.S. part of the equation again, I think the stock probably runs for a while.
Okay. Man, let's hope so. We could do some PGMs running. We'll leave it there. Peter Radin, Sonia Capital Advisors. Appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat. We had results for 6 months ending August. So revenue up 44%, 44.3%, but HEPS down 80% at 53 cents, dividend of 10 cents. Andreas, the big question, of course, is how's Lafarge doing? And you had guided to this when we chatted 6 months ago. You said Lafarge was going to be loss-making. How is the process going there?
Simon, it is really going well. We put the best people we could lay our hands on into that business. The aggregates and fly ash business has already been contributing nicely. And the cement business came from a very difficult position a couple of months ago. But, you know, we were just talking earlier this morning, you know, for the last couple of days, we've seen the best sales in any particular day over the last couple of days. We've seen the best production in a month. We're probably going to see the cement business at a break even this month, or maybe even a small profit. So it's making very, very good progress. And I think if ever we were happy about an acquisition, this is one. It's been painful in the beginning.
Sure.
And it had a big impact on our results. But, you know, you must remember results as a specific point in time, but doesn't really show the trend. Long story short, we're very happy.
And no surprises. I mean, that's what always is sometimes a worry with an acquisition. From what you're saying, it was as you expected, and you're managing it all perfectly fine.
Yeah, it was, to be perfectly honest about specifically the cement business, was actually a bit worse than we expected. But we must also remember the approval process took a bit longer than we initially thought.
Right.
You know, it took about a year from where we signed until we eventually took over. And, you know, that's never a good thing for a business, is once the seller have disengaged and the buyers are not allowed to take over, that interim period is never a good time for a business.
Yeah, I take your point. And it's pushed debt to equity up to 45.6, which for Afrimat's a higher level, but I imagine you're not overly worried by that either, because if Lafarge is working, the cash flows should get that debt coming down fairly quickly.
Yeah, we should see, and I know I'm not allowed to make any forecasts, but we should see that improvement coming through rather quickly. And as we speak right now, the entire business, you know, let's call it the old Afrimat as well as the new Afrimat, the ex-Lafarge, everybody is focused on generating proper cash flows and getting that debt levels down, and we are making good progress.
Construction materials, which, and remove cement from the equation, you've explained that part. Another good period, and you'd had some really strong years. I mean, this is a good set of numbers in that space off a challenging comparable period.
Yeah, and even after the reporting period, that momentum has gained.
Mm-hmm.
The areas that we see very good demand from is specifically from the infrastructure space, both road and rail. We saw good offtake from that. But we're starting to see even some green shoots in commercial building is starting to pick up slowly again. So all in all, I think given where we are with the GNU and the whole positive sentiment in the country, the interest rates coming down, I think over time we might look back and say that Lafarge transaction came in at an absolute opportune time.
Yeah, iron ore was the bleak spot, and this was one of your local iron ore customers having a freeze at two furnaces. Is that resolved itself? And second part to the question, do you still sort of mine and stockpile even if the customer's not at the point taking off?
Yeah, so the first part of your question, yeah, it was ArcelorMittal. It's well known that they had the freeze in Funabail Park. That is behind us. The volume that they take from us is actually a little better than it was in the past. So that is going very well at the moment as we speak. Since I think it was probably about May, started recovering, and at the moment it's really doing well. Just repeat your second question.
When they're ordering less, do you stockpile or do you sort of reduce production?
Yeah, we did stockpile because we did anticipate a higher takeoff, you know, when they start up again. But we are building those stocks down very quickly. So you'll see at the interims in August, the inventories was quite high. But we're going to build that down and you'll see quite a reduction in those inventories when we report for the full year.
Your future materials and metals, still very new for you, still relatively small, important, of course. How's that going?
That business has two major legs. The one is the fertilizer side, the phosphates. So those plants have now fully been commissioned. We're starting to ramp up. The planting season has just started, so we started seeing volumes flowing. So I'm quite happy that that business is now gaining momentum. But that's never going to be a, you know, big money spinner, but it will pay, let's say it'll pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
The longer term exciting part is the rare earth minerals that are in that deposit. And my colleagues tell me that the quality of that asset is actually amongst some of the best in the world. So we're busy with some R&D work and test work to refine the beneficiation process that is best suited for that specific mineral. And then, you know, hopefully we'll get those results early in the new year, and then we'll start planning the rest of the project from there on.
We'll leave it there. It's Anders van Heerden, CEO Afrimat. Appreciate the time.
Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Gerard Leroux from Capital Connect. Gerard, appreciate the early morning time. Some research out from yourselves, particularly focusing around Black Friday this year, although I suspect it probably starts on this Friday with a month of specials. But you're seeing strong interest, in fact, stronger interest from consumers than you have in the last couple of years, which A, tells us consumers are sort of better than they have been. That makes sense. And that there's good opportunity here for retailers.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Thank you very much for having me. It's definitely looking a lot more positive. I think between the Springboks, Drikkers, and maybe some Checkers 60-60 vibes in South Africa, there's definitely some positivity around the country. The research we commissioned through the Bureau of Market Research definitely shows this with about a 31% increase compared to previous years. And just to translate that into additional sales, that's looking at about 136 billion. That is about 17.3% up from last year. So definitely looking a lot more positive this time around.
And the 2 months, if we bring December into it as well, November and December, I mean, you the forecast, November 19% higher than the previous year, December 48%. I suppose the two critical months. I mean, you know, January to October is nice, but this when it really matters. And retailers need to make sure that they make it work.
Definitely. And I think using things like opportunity capital, short-term financing to prepare for these 2 months, ultimately, Black Friday is like a springboard for the festive season. And these retailers need to make sure that they are catering for the consumers that's coming and flooding to their stores. Because let's face it, most of the consumers are going to try and spot those Christmas presents and buy it in November during Black Friday. And then obviously the spend just increases during December. So the history and the research tells us that this is something that happens year on year. The positive sentiment for this time around is that it seems to be a lot more than previous years. And I think if you take the last couple of years with COVID and load shedding and everything into account, the retailers desperately need it. And let's face it, if ultimately the retailers can win, they can hopefully reduce their prices. And in that way, the consumer also wins by getting the best possible price out there.
What sort of sectors within retail did you dig into? Sort of, who are we spending on clothing? Are we buying furniture? Is it just going to be groceries?
So the big data analysis shows us that firstly, it's definitely groceries, fresh produce, meat, dairy, beverages, etc. Secondly, you're looking at clothing, footwear, and accessories. Mm-hmm. Then it will go into your appliances, your electronics, and lastly, your hardware. So the biggest winner is definitely going to be groceries, and I think the general dealers are going to be the big winners here, especially those that are very clever and they are diversifying in-store, which means the consumer is going to a one-stop shop. They don't have to go to multiple shops throughout the shopping mall. They spend as much of their wallet at one general dealer. So that's going to be the biggest winner out of the five sectors.
You also make, I take your point on that 100%. So much easier, simpler, particularly if the pricing is good. You also make, the other one is sort of the omnichannel. And you make a good point where one of the things, and it's something I'm starting to do a bit more often, you order online, but you pick up in store. And that's becoming a trend. And it's something which seems weird, but globally it's working. And it's an opportunity here, particularly perhaps for some of the smaller retailers.
Yeah, and the data on that is so interesting, Simon. The fact is that only 6% of Black Friday sales will be online only. Wow. Now, most of us, if we talk around the braai or with a couple of friends, it feels like everybody's shopping online only. Mm. But once you dig into the numbers, it's only 6% that is online only. The rest is these omni-channel approaches, click and collect. And there might be a couple of reasons for it. We have not done that specific research, but my gut feeling is telling me that people enjoy going out, that people enjoy touching things, feeling it, seeing what's fresh in the store. There's a lot of what we call shop attainment happening in store as well. So I'm clicking and collecting, but I also want to go and see what is the new trend that is happening. Maybe there's a chef that's showing moms what the new spaghetti bolognese recipe looks like. Yeah. Or whilst the wife is shopping, the husband is looking at a DIY show about this guy that's helping them put kitchen cupboards in. There's so much entertainment that's happening in store. That consumers are interested in going to see what it's all about. And that's obviously increasing the spend. Although they're clicking and collecting, they then spend some more of their wallet physically in the store as well.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Because I remember coming out of the pandemic and I would chat with sort of shopping mall owners and say, how do you get people back to the mall? And it was always going to be, we've got to make it around entertainment, which seemingly from your evidence is starting to happen. A point that really stood out for me, fuel sales are going to pick up. And that's simply because more deliveries. It might only be 6% doing the pure online transaction, but it's still a lift up, and therefore we need more fuel to get those courier vehicles from wherever they start to our front door.
Definitely. We work very closely with a lot of fuel retailers, and they have been struggling over the past few years for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. So this is some welcomed statistics for them. But you're 100% correct. Consumers are going to drive more often because they're meeting with friends. They're going to do more shopping to get their Christmas shopping in order.
Yeah.
But with that demand from the consumer side, suppliers also need to supply more stock, which means the trucks and the delivery vehicles are also going to drive a lot more, and that's going to increase the fuel spend. So a very welcomed statistic for the fuel retailers this year.
We'll leave it there. That's Gerard Leroux at Capital Connect. Appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you planning your Black Friday buying? Perhaps you're skipping it. Perhaps it depends on the deals. It goes back, and I've said this every year, 10% deals, even 20%. I want the proper 40, 50% to get me out of bed. Have your vote. Have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We're chatting with Skulk Lowe, talking around the Anglo Platinum update, but actually we're talking the big PGM jump on proposed Russian sanctions. That was an idea from the US government to the G7. We asked for the beginning of the PGM run. Over half said maybe, certainly hoping. A fifth each said yes to the moon or no, it'll fade. The rest of you were saying PGMs are old school. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m, podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, spotting fake strategies.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.